Great, let's get started. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm so excited to have you back on our channel this morning. If this is your first time joining us, we are live streaming from Gore Christian Church, Pretoria East, and I'm very excited to share the word with you this morning. Before we get started, let's get straight into some praying. Let's pray for the word. Father, we thank you this morning for this moment you've given us to come and sit under the ministry of the word. We pray that you would reveal to us what's on your heart today. We are excited, Lord, because whenever we come together, you speak to us. So, Father, we thank you and we honor you today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I don't want to waste too much of your time. Let's go straight into the word this morning. We're going to go to the book of Luke and chapter 8, verse 26. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. Last week, we were in Luke chapter 8, and we're going to continue there this morning. The word of God says from verse 26, "And they sailed down to the country of the Gadarenes, which is across from Galilee." This was Jesus and his disciples. "And he, going out onto land, he met a certain man out of the city who had demons a long time." Do you know that some problems can stay with us for a long time? So this man here had troubles with his demons for a long time. "And put on no clothes, nor stayed in a house, but among the tombs." Verse 28, "And seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, 'What is to me and to you, Jesus, Son of God, the Most High? I beseech you, do not torment me.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes he had seized him. And he had been kept bound in chains and fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven into the deserted places by the demons. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is your name?'" That's a profound question. What is your name? "And he said, 'Legion.' Why? Because many demons had entered into him." Verse 31, and they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. "And there was there a herd of many pigs feeding on the mountain. And they begged him that he would allow them to enter into them, and he allowed them. And coming out of the man, the demons entered into the pigs, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And those feeding the pigs and seeing this thing fled. And leaving, they reported to the city and to the farms. And they went out to see what had been done. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And also those who saw it told them how the demon-possessed one was healed." Last week we began by asking the question, how much of your life is touched by the salvation of Jesus? And this question, I still want to pose it. Do you see salvation as something that affects everything about your life, or it is something that only touches your spirit man? And for those of you who are not with us last week, we began teaching on this message entitled, "Nothing Stays Behind." And this morning, I want to do part two of that message. Last week, we discovered that when Jesus enters into your life, nothing has a chance to stay behind. Why? Because the intention of Jesus, whenever he comes into your life, it is to take over everything about you. Amen. When Jesus comes into your life, he does not want anything to stay. He wants to redeem everything for his glory. He wants to use everything about you to bring honor to his name. Amen. That is the intention of Jesus. Now, I don't have time to go through last week's sermon, and if you missed, you can go onto our website and you can catch up after this service. Now, last week we discovered that when Jesus comes into your life, the first thing that he does, it is to restore your relationship with God the Father. That is the entry point. He restores your relationship with God. Because in the absence of Jesus, no one has access to God. The Bible tells us that his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous, but they are closed to the prayers of the unrighteous. When you are without Jesus, there is no relationship. When you are without Jesus, there is no relationship with God. And when Jesus comes into your life, that is what he does first. So we read an intriguing story that gives us an insight into the aspect of how nothing stays behind when Jesus is present in one's life. Now, this morning we read from Luke chapter 8, quite a number of scriptures. And I want to focus on verse 35 right now, where the Bible says, "And they went out to see what had been done, because the entire region was in shock. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Also, those who saw it told them how the demon-possessed one was healed." I want to focus on that word healed. When you go and look at the root word of that word healed, it's also sozo, like we discovered last week. It speaks of saving a suffering one or to preserve from destruction. Saving a suffering one or preserving from destruction. This man was suffering. And what Jesus did was to bring peace. What Jesus did was to restore this man, as these people were saying, "Wow, this man was demon-possessed for a long time, but lo and behold, he has been healed. Sozo occurred to him." Now, this brings me to the second dimension of your salvation. And what is that dimension? When Jesus comes into your life, he wants to restore your broken character. He wants to restore your broken character. Now, this man here gives us two versions of himself. The first version was the man before Jesus, before encountering Jesus. And the second version was the man after Jesus. And I want you to know, you can never be the same after Jesus has come into your life. He changes everything about you. Now, the man before Jesus, or before the encounter with Jesus, was a broken man. His character was broken. And his character was not just a natural character. It was a character that was driven by demonic activities. It was demonically inspired. When I realized that, it made me question certain behaviors I've seen around. And I started wondering whether some of these characters are not being inspired by demonic entities. This man said, "I'm legion." In other words, there was a legion of demons. You will not appreciate what he was saying unless you know what legion meant. It was a Roman entity of the army. It was a division of the Roman army, and it typically had 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. That was what a legion was. So a legion was not a small artillery of men coming together. It was made up of top-notch soldiers of the army of the Roman Empire that numbered between 3,000 and 6,000. So when this man said, "I am legion," he was saying, "I am loaded." He was saying that there were demons that had inhabited his life and were controlling everything about him. What I find interesting is that the word legion was not just used as a verb. It was used as a noun. It was talking about the entity that was controlling this man. Now, under the influence of demons, this legion, this man, acted in a very unnatural way. Many people have a lot of abrasive characters, making it virtually impossible to work with them and to coordinate with them in any environment. Maybe you have encountered people like that who are just difficult to deal with. And this morning I want you to know that some of those situations are really driven by demonic entities. Again, I'm not attributing every bad character to a demonic entity, but I want you to know that to every broken character, there is Satan who is operating there. And when Jesus comes into your life, he changes everything about you. Now, in our fallen nature, our character is broken. And you need to understand that. It is like, let me equate it to like dealing with a computer that is a virus. It's like a computer that has been taken over by a virus. I don't know if you have operated one like that. You'd look at the screen of the computer and you see that stuff is happening there, but nobody is controlling it. There is a virus that is at work there. Now, this man is a typical example of a natural man whose soul or spirit is defiled with sin, particularly his mind and conscience. This is the state of the man, and it describes the state of many people right now, whose soul and spirit man is defiled by sin. Now, I want to put in a qualification here. Sometimes the soiling of your spirit man doesn't necessarily mean you are not born again. It is a factor of us living in a fallen world. And whenever we go out there and we get contaminated, and that can break your character. Maybe your character has been broken because of your upbringing, because of what you experienced as you grew up. It contaminated you, resulting in a broken state. And that is what Jesus wants to deal with when he comes into your life. The Bible teaches that human beings are evil by nature. The heart of a man is evil. Why? Because the software is corrupted. When Adam and Eve sinned, there was a virus that got in that brought death, that corrupted the system. And as a result, that virus need to be taken out. And the antivirus in your life is Jesus. There is nothing else you can do that can change the situation in your life. Glory be to God. Now, this man, I want to talk about this man before Jesus. Before he encountered Christ, the demons that were operating in this man led him to walk naked. And I read a little bit around people who are mentally disturbed. They have a propensity to undress themselves. It looks like the devils want to come in to bring shame and to expose the nakedness of humanity. And this is what happens with our character. Now, this morning, I want you to understand that without Christ, your character flaws have a tendency of exposing your nakedness. In the absence of Jesus, the intention of the enemy is to expose you. The intention of the enemy is to bring shame upon your life. When we talk to people with utter disrespect, it's a way of being naked if you think about it. When a child rises up and smacks his own mom, that's an indication of nakedness. The devil is exposing that young boy. When we are driven by hot anger and bouts of rage, we are literally walking naked. And that is the intention of the devil, to bring shame upon us. Child of God, the devil is not your friend. His intention is to expose you so that you can walk naked before people. You'd realize people, after committing a horrendous act, when they come back to their senses, they will say to themselves, "I don't know what got on me. I don't know what got on me." What happened here? The devil came in and took over their lives. The Bible says this man was walking naked. A flaw is a natural result sometimes of living in the flesh. You might ask me, "But Pastor, is all my flaws sinful?" Well, let me explain to you that not every flaw is sinful, but every sin is a flaw. Therefore, do not try to justify your flaws. If your flaw violates scriptures, then that leads you to sin, and you need to deal with it. Whenever your flaw brings you to a place of violating scripture, it is sinful to you, and you need to deal with it. So, This is what these demons were doing. They were making this man exposed. And whenever people passed through that area, they were ashamed. They could not look at him. And I wonder, when people look at you, are they ashamed? Do they feel shame for you because of the way you speak? You know the foulness that comes out of our tongues sometimes when we're at work? You just wonder, is this natural? No, it's not natural. What is the second thing we see here? Under the influence of demons, he had been kept bound in chains and in fetters. But what surprises me is that this man had the ability to break the chains. It's because there was a legion over his life. He was driven into the deserted places by these demons. Now listen to me, it doesn't matter how much you try to deal with your character flaws. In the absence of Christ, some of our character flaws are too strong for humanity to deal with. Amen. So without Jesus, certain character traits are too strong for any human being to overcome. Many people will tell you that, well, if I change my behavior for 21 days, I will break a habit. Well, I have seen a lot of people who have tried these self-help mechanisms, but they always fall back. They always fall back. Why? Because in the absence of Jesus, some traits are too strong for human beings to overcome. Now, this man, there was no chain that could stop him. Whenever chains were put upon him, they would be broken because there was a legion over his life. Can I say, no amount of chains can stop you from stealing if there is a spirit of stealing over one's life. No amount of chains can stop somebody from lying if there is a spirit of lying in somebody's life. No amount of external restraint can stop a womanizer if there is a devil behind that behavior. I want you to know, people can try and control you, but as long as Jesus is not in the context, your character will not change. What am I saying this morning? You need Jesus. Because when Jesus came into this man, life changed. The course of his life changed completely. Now, the Bible says this man was driven out from the community by the devils. This man, no one could hang around him. Nobody enjoyed his company. This is the question that I have. Do people enjoy your company? Do they say, wow, I wish if so-and-so was here with me? Why? Because whenever he walks into the room, he brightens up the room. Now, allow me to say to you that without Christ, your broken character will drive people away from you. Without Christ, your broken character will drive people away from you. This man could not relate with himself, firstly, and he could not relate with the people around him. Let's talk about these things. Are you an argumentative person? You've got a knack to pick arguments all the time. Are you a quarrelsome person? They know you, that when he is around, there is going to be arguments. Or maybe you struggle to control your lips. You gossip. You tell them, I'm just telling you so that you can pray for this family. No, that's not why you're telling them. You just want to pass on what has been going on down the corridor. Are you an irresponsible person? You make a commitment, but you fail to follow through. I don't know, maybe you're too fearful. And because you are fearful, you bend towards man. I want you to know, if there is a spirit of fear controlling you, everything that you do gets impacted by that fear. I don't know, is it being dishonest? I've heard a lot of people saying, whenever you give a book to a Christian, the chances of getting that book back are very slim. I don't know. Are you one of those people? If you go into your library right now, how many of those books actually belong to you? Or me? You know, how many of those books belong to you? If you go into your library and you see my book, please bring it back. What am I saying today? Our character flaws can bring us to a place where people are driven away from us. people are driven away from us. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 5, the same story, it says there, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Crying and cutting himself with stones. Can you see what happens when our character is broken? When our character is broken, we are brought to a place where we even inflict pain on ourselves. That is what happens. And this morning, the Lord is saying to you, it is time that you allow me to deal with your broken character. Now, this man could not help himself. Like everyone else, we cannot help ourselves outside of Christ. But what I find very interesting is this. God has a way of meeting up with you. God has a way to find you wherever you are. Now, the Bible says it so happened that in that location where this man was dwelling, Jesus happened to come across that path. Jesus happened to come through that route. Look at this here, Luke chapter 8, verse 27. And he going out onto land, he met a certain man out of the city who had demons a long time. I don't know. Do we call this chance? Do we call this coincidence? Do we call this, I don't know what you can call it. But I want you to realize that when it comes to meeting Christ, it is not coincidence. Meeting Christ is not a coincidence, but it is divine providence. It is divine providence. It is by God's design that he will meet up with you. Glory be to God. And Jesus is saying to you, surrender to me and receive healing and restoration to your broken character. It's not chance. It's not coincidence. It is divine providence. It's divine providence that today you're watching this sermon and you're listening to me. God has got your number and he's looking for you. Glory be to God. So the encounter with Jesus changed this man's story. It changed his destiny. It changed what he was about to do. Let's look at that verse 35 again. The Bible says, yeah, and they went out to see what had been done. You see, your life becomes a testimony when Jesus comes into your life. Just like this man here, the entire region, the farming areas and the rural areas around this place, they came. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I find that so profound. You cannot remain the same in the presence of Jesus. When Jesus comes into your life, he changes everything about you. He changes everything about you. A transformation took place which attracted the attention of the people. When you used to be abrasive before Jesus, after Jesus, you'll be a cool, calm, collected individual that people just love to be around. Hallelujah. And everybody will be saying, do you remember this man? Do you remember her? She used to be difficult to deal with. What happened? Jesus came. Jesus came in the context. Glory be to God. And this is your portion this morning. When Jesus comes into your life, he will bring about a change that cannot be ignored. Let's look at the transformation that took place here. The transformation that took place. Jesus restored the man to his perfect senses. Jesus wants to bring you back to your perfect senses. With composure and decency. The Bible says he was seated still at the feet of Jesus. And he was clothed. You see, he was full of shame. But Jesus restored dignity. When Jesus comes into your life, he gives you back your dignity. The one that the devil had destroyed. Hello, somebody. I don't know what's happening in your family right now. Maybe your family has been exposed by the devil. But when Jesus comes into your life, what he does, he restores decency. Dignity is given back to you. Glory be to God. The Bible says there, with composure. You become somebody who people can deal with. That is a transformation that took place. What is the second transformation? The touch of Jesus resulted in a man who was still, quiet, harmless, and inoffensive. Oh, what a man to be around. A man who is still. A man who is quiet. A man who can reason with you. You see, those people that you cannot stand, you need to just wait until Jesus comes into their lives. They will become quiet. They become harmless. They become inoffensive. You see, there are people who are just offensive just by the words that they speak. But when Jesus comes, there's a cleansing process that takes place. It changes the type of words that come out of your mouth. Amen. And that is what Jesus wants to do for you. Right. Now, what I find intriguing is that the transformation of this man took his active participation. If Jesus is to change you, he does not force you. He wants you to be a partner with him. He wants you to allow him to come into his life. How did this man participate in the process if he had gone cuckoo in his mind? How did he participate in the process? Look at me here. The Bible says here, and Jesus asked him, what is your name? Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because many demons had entered into him. I find this very profound. That term legion, as we have discovered, it simply describes a battalion of soldiers. And we said it ranges between 3,000 and 6,000. In other words, it was not his real name. Legion was not his real name, but he understood his state. When Jesus said to him, what is your name? He could have said, I'm the madman who stays among the dead. He could have said, I'm the madman who is too strong for chains to be broken. But he identified himself aright. And he said, my name is Legion. When Jesus comes into your life, he asks you, what do you want me to do for you? What is your answer? Are you vulnerable enough to tell Jesus your character flaws? Are you vulnerable enough to say, Lord Jesus, I find it difficult to keep my zip down? Are you able to say, Lord Jesus, I find it difficult to keep a secret? I always want to share it with somebody. Are you able to say, Lord Jesus, I find it difficult to leave my workplace without the stapler, without the pen that belongs to my workplace? Hello, somebody. We say, it's just part of our stationery, but it belongs to your workplace. It starts off as a small thing, and then it grows over time. You see, in the book of the Song of Solomon, Song of Songs, it says here, catch us, the little foxes that destroys the vine. Catch us, the little foxes. Now, I want to ask you right now, Mama, Papa, that little fox that you are tendering, you're looking at, you're busy rubbing at the back of that little fox, and you think, it's just a small thing, it does me no harm. Today, it's a little fox, but tomorrow, it's a big fox ready to kill its owner. And Jesus is saying, what is your character flaw? Whatever you admit to, whatever you confess, it loses power over your life. But whatever you hide, whatever you keep to yourself, it has power over you. There is a statement that we say, you've got to shame sin before sin shames you. You've got to call it out. You've got to call it out, because when you do that, its power is broken from you. Glory be to Jesus. And therefore Jesus said to him, what's your name? What's your identity? What is going on in your life? Because if you can name it, it can be broken. Hallelujah. If you can call it out, victory is on its way right now. So, what am I saying this morning? Until you accept that you are broken, there is no restoration that can take place. The Bible declares that if anyone is in Christ, all things have become new. All things have become new. And hey, that word all means all in English. means all in Afrikaans, means all in Shona, in Sizulu, or I don't know, maybe in Greek. It means all. Everything becomes new. The intention of Jesus positionally is to take your broken character into a character that is whole, that is complete in Him. Glory be to God. So, the man after Jesus was a man who was composed, was a man who was decent, was a man who could be dealt with, was a faithful man. Glory be to God. The man after Jesus is a man who stopped beating his wife at home. This is the man who met Jesus. The man after Jesus, the one who comes back home on time to be with his children. I'm talking about the man who has encountered Jesus. This is the man who is prepared to sit down with his daughter and do homework with him at home. Hello, somebody. Amen. I'm talking about the man who has encountered Jesus, because Jesus comes and he builds your character. He breaks your heart and makes it malleable so that he can use it for his glory. Hallelujah. The woman who has met Jesus is the one who is not cantankerous with her husband. Is the one who knows how to speak to her husband. He's the one who knows to say, yes, my Lord. Like Sarah said, yes to my Lord, to Abraham. Hallelujah. There is change that happens when Jesus comes into your life. Amen. I don't know if this is making sense to you. Young man, maybe you're struggling, you're at the verge of getting into drugs. But when Jesus comes into your life, he will take away that craving of drugs. And he will give you a craving for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Bible says, do not get drunk with wine, but get drunk by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The power from on high. I'm talking about the transformation that happens when Jesus is the Lord of our lives. For some of you, this transformation will happen when you move from seeing Jesus only as your Savior to seeing Him as your Lord. When He starts telling you what you need to do and what you cannot do. Hallelujah. The Bible says somewhere in Ephesians, let the thief stop stealing. The one who used to steal, let him stop stealing. And let him start laboring with his hands so that he is able to show forth his good works. So when Jesus comes into your life, you come broken, but you cannot continue broken. Hallelujah. We invite everybody to come to church. But when you come to church, when you meet Jesus, you cannot remain the same. He will change you inside out. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, the man after Jesus was a different man. I want to share with you from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Victory is yours. Whatever you're struggling with, I declare victory over your life right now in the name of Jesus. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says that which is born of God overcomes the world. This is our victory, even our faith. So when you are in Jesus, you have the ability to overcome the power of sin. Why? Because Jesus broke the back of sin. Jesus overcame the power of sin over your life. I was just thinking about this. And I was saying, what is the difference between somebody who is a drug addict without knowing Jesus and somebody who is a drug addict knowing Jesus? The difference is this. The drug addict without Jesus will try in the flesh by themselves, but might never get to a point of seeing victory. Why? Because the power of sin over their life hasn't been broken. But the drug addict in the Lord, when they start doing all these mechanisms and helping themselves, they are able to walk in victory. Why? Because the power of sin is broken through Jesus that belongs to them. Amen. So this morning, we need to move away from dealing with the leaves and the fruits of our issues. We need to deal with the root. And the only one who can deal with the root is Jesus Christ, the Savior. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes into your life, he digs the roots. And then he says to you, push the tree over. You see, when the roots are taken out, anybody can just push a tree over. So I'm not saying do not pay attention to your issues. Do not read books. I'm saying read books, but have Jesus. Because when Jesus is in your life, the roots are taken out. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Now look with me. Look with me here. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. We know that scripture very well. The Bible says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." Now we know this scripture. And a lot of us pay attention to this portion. "For we did not receive a spirit of fear." Now, your Christianity should not be underlined by the things that you do not do, but should be underlined by the things that you do. So it should not always be in the negative. "I did not receive a spirit of fear." Great, but what did you receive? You need to understand that what you were delivered from cannot be compared to what you entered into. Hallelujah. What the Lord took you out of is not comparable to what he took you into. He took you into life. Glory be to God. So here we're talking about, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." But what did he give us? That is a key issue. What did he give us? So what we received is more than what we were delivered from. I love this. So here the Bible says, "We did not receive a spirit of fear, but we received the spirit of power." Amen. The spirit of power. This is the ability to resist and to push back the forces of darkness. I wish believers could concentrate on, we receive the spirit of power and we walk in power. I like the song by Sinners that says, "I know who I am. I walk in power." Glory be to God. He gave us power to be able to push back the forces of darkness, to push back those character flaws, to push back that broken character in your life. Glory be to God. So you received the ability to say no. Amen. To certain things. And the ability to say yes to certain things. Yes, you remember when you are not born again, you try to say no to certain things, but before you know it, you went back. It's because there wasn't power. There wasn't power. When Jesus came, he gave us power to be able to make up our minds and say no to this behavior. I am more than a conqueror. I'm not going back to wallow into my pity party. Glory be to God. This is what Jesus does when you come in, when he comes into your life. This is the power to do the will of God and to become slaves of righteousness and not slaves of carnality. Glory be to God. So we receive the spirit of power. So whatever character flaws you are experiencing right now, there is a possibility for you to walk in victory. Glory be to God, because you received a spirit of power. You see, when you read in Zechariah, the Bible says, it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. By my spirit, says the Lord. This is the spirit. We did not receive a spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, but by my spirit. It's not the power in the flesh. It's not out of carnality, but it is the enablement of the Holy Spirit that comes upon your life and chains are broken. Hallelujah. Come on now, if demons, if this legion was able to break chains, how much more the power of angels, how much more the power of the Holy Ghost over your life to break the chains of bondage over your life. That's what I'm talking about this morning. We received power. We received power. The second thing he says here, we received the spirit of love. The spirit of love. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. There are things that you cannot do when you're driven by love. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you." When you love your children, you'll make sure that your children have got school fees, isn't it? When you love your work colleagues and one of them falls sick, what do? You don't ignore them. You go pray for them. Hallelujah. Why? Because there is the spirit of love. I want you to know, when you walk in love, everything else has got no power over your life. When you walk in love, child of God, it's easy to forgive your husband. Yes. That's what love is. The Bible says, what manner of love is this? That a man would die for us sinners. When you walk in love, you're able to do the impossible. Because passion drives you to a place where you walk like Jesus walked here on earth. Hallelujah. Amen. The spirit of love. When Jesus looked down on earth, love compelled him and he came down on earth. That is why Paul says, love compels us to do certain things. When you are driven by love, you ask yourself before you say certain things, is this thing edifying? Will this bring glory to God? And therefore, love will make you think before you do certain things. Hallelujah. You see, it is possible to be peaceable when the spirit of love is upon you. It is possible to be patient, to wait patiently when you are in the queue at the post office. That is a fruit of the spirit, isn't it? When you walk in love, you are able to be meek. And the Bible says, and the meek shall inherit the earth. Glory be to God. I'm talking about the spirit of love. That is what we received. And then it says, we received the spirit of a sound mind. Of a sound mind. The Bible tells us that we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. I want you to realize that when you carry sound mind, it results in a prudent conduct and behavior. When you have sound mind, it results in sobriety. When you have sound mind, it results in moderation, temperance, purity, honest. I'm talking about all those virtues that we know about. When you have sound mind, you are clear-headed. Amen. Hello, somebody. Amen. When you have sound mind and you're caught up in traffic, you won't get involved in traffic rage, in road rage. Sound mind. It takes me back to Galatians 5:22 that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what refines our character. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to pray the fruit of the Spirit. All the nine, the fruit of the Spirit, you need to pray for them that, Lord, I want to operate in love. I want to operate in self-control. I want to operate in patience. I want to operate in being just consistent in operating under the guidance of the Holy Ghost. What am I saying this morning? It doesn't matter how broken you are. What matters is where you take your life to. When you take your life to Jesus and you give him all the broken pieces, what he will do, he will bring all those pieces together for his glory. You see, what was meant for evil, the Lord will turn it around for good. What was meant for evil, the Lord will turn it around for his glory. But that can only happen if you give your life to Jesus. We like to quote Romans 8:28 that says, all things work together for our good. All things work together for our good. It is beautiful to quote that scripture. But I want you to see there's a qualification. It says here, to all those who are called according to his purpose. When you walk in the purpose, in the destiny that God has called you, all things will work together for your good. Amen. So it might not be an immediate good, but the ultimate end is good. You look at your character and you're saying, the reason why my character is like this, it is because I'm a victim of rape. It is because I was raised up in a broken family where mama and daddy divorced when I was young. That is why my character is broken right now. But do you know that your purpose might be contained in your pain? That is why you need Jesus to come into your life and to build you up, to build your character. Hallelujah. What am I saying today? I'm saying when you're in Jesus, nothing stays behind. Nothing stays behind. I want you right now to think about your character and say, which part of my character does not bring glory to God? And name it, frame it, shame it, and bring it before Jesus. And I want you to know when you do that and you submit yourself before the throne of God, he will take you as you are. He will not ask you to go back to sort yourself out before you come to his light, to him. He will take you as you are and he will put you back together. Amen. And this morning, he wants to do something like that to you, to your family. Maybe it's a new beginning. And this morning, with our eyes closed, as we come to the end of this message, I want you to think about the journey that you've been on. I want you to think about the flaws that have really tainted your life. Some of you have lost jobs because of these character flaws. But Jesus came that you might walk free. The Bible says it is for freedom that Christ came. And whom the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. And today I declare freedom over your life. Freedom from every form of brokenness. Maybe for you it's not character. Your heart is broken. The Bible says he's very close to those who are broken in their hearts. Right now, I want to pray for you. Because Jesus loves you. He died for you on the cross. Close your eyes with me and let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we are healed from our brokenness. Right now, I pray for that one who struggles with a lack of forgiveness. Lord, I pray that they would experience your love right now, for them to release those people who are prisoners in their hearts right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for those who are broken in their character, where they are not able to keep their words. Lord, I pray that there will be a faithful people from today onwards, in the name of Jesus. I pray for every other character flaw that has tainted your people. I pray that they would walk in freedom right now, in the name of Jesus. Right now, I break every form of addiction. Addiction to food. Addiction to nicotine. Addiction to drugs. We break it right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, let them walk in victory right now. Lord, we thank you that you are for us and you are not against us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before we go, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. That is the starting point. He wants to save your soul from eternal damnation. And you can only do that by receiving him in your heart. And I want to lend you my words right now. And I want you to repeat after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I have heard your word. And I can see that I am broken. And I cannot help myself. I come to you today in my brokenness. And I say, please come into my life. Make me a child of God. Forgive me, Lord, of all my sins. From today, I belong to you, and you belong to me. Give me strength to run this race and to give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you have made this prayer, he has already restored your spirit man. He has healed you right now. If you need more input from us, you will see our website at the bottom of the screen. You will see a contact number. Get in touch with us. We will share with you. We will disciple you. Otherwise, God bless you. We'll meet you again next week, same time, same place. And I want to encourage you to continue giving. Go onto our website under godchurchpretoria.co.za under the giving tab. You will see our banking details. I really want to appreciate all of you that have been giving faithfully. And I want to encourage you to continue doing so. And as you do so, the Lord will bless you. He'll meet you at your point of need. So thank you for watching. God bless you. We'll see you again next week. Bye.